Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather today on this Sunday, the second Sunday in Lent, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad that you are all here this morning, have taken the time to be here on this hour that is designated on this Lord's Day to worship God and to praise the Lord. Just have one announcement for you to be mindful of, and that is on Saturday, March 25th, the women will be having their spring tea gathering. So please be mindful of that and come out and participate in that tea gathering. Whether you drink tea or not, it should be a wonderful opportunity to come and to be a part of what the women are doing. I understand that they will have tea sandwiches. I'm not quite sure what a tea sandwich is. little bitty sandwiches. Well, I'll be there anyway, whatever they are. But again, that's going to be on March the 25th, 12:30. There are other things going on at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please make sure that you read your bulletin and stay abreast of what is going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our first reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you, I will curse. And by you, all the families of the earth shall bless themselves." So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. It's found on page 924 in your pew Bibles, but let us listen to God's word for us. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them.' And Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' And Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' And Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can this be?' And Jesus answered him, 'Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. I doubt that any of us remember our own births into the world. I don't think any of us can recall that, can remember that. But the fact that we were born is self-evident. But being born had to have been a traumatic experience. Think about it. You are for 9 months existing in the dark but comfortable confines of your mother's womb. You are secure. You have all that you need. And then one day you are suddenly hurled out into the world, the world of light, the world of noise, this whole new world. It had to be a very traumatic experience. You can understand a baby coming out crying, you're naked, you are shivering, you are totally vulnerable, totally dependent upon your parents, upon someone to take care of you. A whole new world after the confines of living in the darkness of your mother's womb. In our text this morning, Jesus tells Nicodemus that he has to be born again. Many of us are familiar with that passage. It is one of the most well-known passages in the Bible, one of the most celebrated passages in the Bible. You've got to be born again. In fact, that phrase has ensconced itself in our language, in our psyche. In the United States, we say it all the time, especially in my part of the country. That's what people say. You've got to be born again. Brother, have you been born again? But that's what Jesus tells Nicodemus. You have to be born again. Nicodemus has been watching Jesus. He's been listening to Jesus. He has been observing as Jesus has been doing these powerful signs and wonders and miracles. And so he takes the trouble to go seek Jesus out. But of course, Nicodemus is no ordinary seeker, but he is a leader. He is a religious leader. He is a ruler of Israel. He is a Pharisee. He is a man of immense learning. The Pharisees, you'll remember, were the party in Israel that held to a rigorous standard of purity and righteousness. The Pharisees believed that if they could get the people of Judea to be righteous and pure and observe the law, the Torah, then it would usher in the kingdom of God. In fact, Nicodemus's name means the victory of the people. And that's what Nicodemus is committed to. He is committed to God. He is committed to his people, Israel. He is committed to the victory of his people. He is committed to righteousness and purity. And so he comes to Jesus. But we are told that he comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness, which is John's way of telling us that despite all of his religious pedigrees, all of his immense learning, all of his commitment to God and to righteousness, that Nicodemus is still in the dark. He is still ignorant of the ways of God and the ways of the kingdom. Maybe you know some people like that. Maybe you know some Some people who even profess to be Christians or who are like that. Maybe even some Christian leaders and teachers who are like that. They are still in the dark. They preach about God and teach about God, but they are still in the dark. In the dark about the ways of God. And that was Nicodemus, this ruler of Israel, this religious leader. He's still in the dark about the ways of God. And so Jesus tells him that his learning is not enough. Being a leader of Israel is not enough. Going to seminary is not enough. Knowing the Bible is not enough. If you want to see the kingdom of God, Jesus tells him he has to be born again. It's important to say just a couple of things about what Jesus says here. First of all, when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, he's not talking here about going to heaven. He's not simply talking about what happens to us after we die. Yes, when we die, we go to be with the Lord. We go to be in heaven with the Lord. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here when he talks about the kingdom of God. When he talks about the kingdom of God, he's talking about God's coming future for the world. He's talking about the way things will be when God finally has God's way with the world. He's saying that in order to see that future and work for that future and live into that future, you have to be born again. Nicodemus isn't quite sure what Jesus is talking about, but that's what Jesus tells him. You have to be born again. If you're going to live in God's realm, if you want to see God's realm, if you're going to live into God's realm right now, if you're going to be the kind of people that God wants you to be, you got to be born again right now. You got to be born again. We also need to say a word about flesh here. Jesus uses the word flesh. It's a word that we often hear in the Bible, a word that John uses quite a bit, as well as the Apostle Paul. When we think of flesh, we often have in mind our fleshly material bodies and its needs and drives. But when Jesus talks about the flesh, he means something more than that. When Jesus talks about the flesh, he is talking about that worldly realm of existence that we are all born in. A realm of existence that makes sense to us, that seems logical to us, a realm of existence that we can't quite extricate ourselves from. You know, none of us had anything to do with the circumstances of our birth. We were kind of passive in the wake of the whole enterprise. We didn't have anything to say about the circumstances of our births. Some of us were born rich, and some of us were born poor. Some of us were born here in this country, here in the United States, and others of us may have been born somewhere else. Some of us were born this color, and others of us may have been born that color. Some were born male, and others were born female. None of us had anything to say about any of that. But whatever the circumstances of our births, the flesh is the way that we tend to look at the world. We can't help but to talk about it in any other way. Even when we talk about God, our understanding of God and God's ways of the world are colored by the flesh, colored by that earthly world and realm of existence that we've been born into. And so we often end up talking about God and thinking about God in ways that may say more about ourselves than it does about God. Maybe we end up talking about God in ways that makes God the God of our nation, a national God. Maybe we end up talking about God in ways that makes God a white God or a black God. Maybe we end up talking about God in ways that makes God a conservative God or a liberal God. That's the way that Nicodemus understood God. The God was the God of the Jews. The God was a God that cared only about Jews, and that's what he was waiting for the victory of his people. He was waiting for the victory of Judea. He was waiting for God to act on behalf of his people. That's the way he understood the kingdom of God. God's coming kingdom for Israel, in which Israel will be on top. And everyone else would be subservient to them. But Jesus says, if you want to see and understand the kingdom of God, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. You must be born again. You have to move from the darkness of the realm of the flesh, so that you can begin to see the ways of God in the world. One of the things I love about John's gospel is that John is the master of the double meaning. He does that a lot. For instance, he talks about Jesus being lifted up. We know when he talks about Jesus being lifted up, it has two meanings. One meaning is being exalted, being lifted up, being praised and lifted up above others. But for John, it also has that other meaning. It means Jesus being lifted up on the cross. John wants us to see both meanings in his gospel. And he does the same thing with the Greek word anathon. It has two meanings. It could be translated again or anew, as in you have to be born again or you have to be born anew. But it can also mean above, as in you have to be born from above. And that's the double meaning that Jesus is implying in John's gospel this morning. He's saying you have to be born again. You have to be born anew. You have to be born from above. You have to be born by the Spirit. You have to be born by God's Holy Spirit. Not enough to be born by the flesh. By being born by the flesh, you'll never be able to get it. You have to be born again from above. You know, that's what Jesus, that's what God calls all of us to be about. We all have to be born again. And being born again is not having some emotional experience. It's not having some warm feeling. It's not even about making a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, though that's important. But what's the good of making a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ if you're continuing to think in the ways of the world? What's the use of making a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ if it doesn't change anything, if you're still walking in darkness? To be born again means a radical transformation. To be born again means a transformed heart. To be born again is to walk the way of radical trust in the God who's called us. That's what happened to Abraham in our Old Testament reading this morning that Judith read. I know the phrase born again or born from above is not mentioned in the text, not mentioned anywhere in the Genesis text, but that's what happened to Abraham. He is told to leave. He is told to leave the house of his father, leave the comfortable, familiar confines of his people in order to embark on a whole new radical way of life. Leave what makes you feel comfortable. Leave the things that you know. Leave the things that give you an advantage. Leave the privilege that you've been afforded. And to embark on a whole new way of life that God will show you. I can imagine Abraham shivering, cold, vulnerable, totally dependent on this strange God who has called him to embark on this journey of radical trust. Abraham had to be born again. One of my favorite born again stories is the story of St. Francis of Assisi, the 14th century Franciscan who gave his life to the Lord. Francis was a young man of extreme privilege. His father was a wealthy clothing merchant. Think Ralph Lauren or whoever the top fashion merchants are the day, Gucci or whoever. But he was extremely privileged, dressed nice in the best of clothes. Enjoyed the best that life had to offer. And then one day he heard God's voice speaking to him, and he began to take that voice seriously. The spirit of God was blowing in his heart and blowing in his midst, and he began to take it seriously, and he began to give his clothes to the poor. All of his fancy clothes, his designer suits, and his expensive wrappings, and he began to give them to the poor, give them away. And his father Pietro, who was an outstanding church-going citizen, became angry because not only did Francis give his clothes away, but he began to take some of his father's best cloth and sell it in order to provide for the poor and the destitute. And so his father had him thrown into prison and then sued him in the public square. And Francis shows up in the public square naked. He takes all of the clothes, the remaining clothes that he had that was on his back. He took the clothes and all the other possessions that he had that belonged to his father. And he says, "Here, I'm giving it all back to you. I'm giving you all of this stuff because it's upset you so. I'm giving you the clothes on my back. I'm giving you everything that I've taken for you. And from now on, I no longer consider you, Pietro Bernardoni, to be my father, but my father is the Father who art in heaven." Francis was being born again. And that's what Nicodemus is told that he must do as well. He has to be born again. He has to give up the things that he thinks he knows about God in order to be born by the Spirit and led by the Spirit. And that's what Jesus is telling all of us this morning as well. We have to be born again. I think one of the things that Nicodemus must be shown, and one of the things that the Apostle Paul himself was shown, also a Pharisee, through the work of the Spirit, is that God does not just belong to the people that we think God belongs to. God did not just belong to the Jews, but God belongs to everyone. God cares for everyone. That's what Jesus says in our text this morning. God loves the whole world. God doesn't just love the people, Nicodemus, that you think God ought to love. God doesn't just care about the good people. God doesn't just care about the people who are defined by the Torah. God doesn't just care about good, outstanding citizens like you, but God loves the world. God loves the whole world. That's something for us to, hard for us to get our, wrap our minds around. God loves the whole world. Jesus says that indeed God doesn't come into the world to condemn the world, but he comes to save the world. You know, we talk a lot about the world, how broken the world is, how messed up the world is, how chaotic the world is, how unjust the world is. The world would be a much better place if everybody was like me, if everybody was like us. But God loves the world. And God has undertaken to save the world. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that in order to see that and to be a part of that and to participate in that, he has to be born again. He has to have his understanding of God changed. He has to open himself up to the radical trust that God is calling him to open his heart up to. He has to see God in a whole different way. We're told a little bit more about Nicodemus later in the gospel. At the end of the gospel, it's Nicodemus who is defending Jesus when Jesus is brought before the Sanhedrin and is being condemned. It's Nicodemus, one of the only Pharisees that has a word to say about Jesus. And it's Nicodemus, too, who helps to ask for the body of Jesus. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus in darkness. Nicodemus, who was living in ignorance. He, I believe, began to see more and more about what this God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. Not about what we want God to be about. Not about getting our enemies. Not about beating up our enemies. Not about looking out for our own people. Not about looking out just for ourselves. But God loves the world. So much so that God gave his only begotten son to die so that the world might be saved and redeemed. Lent is the season that we are called to be mindful of that. Lent is the season when we are asked to embark upon our own journey. It's the season when we are called to put away the things that we think we know, to set aside our certainties, to set aside the things that make us feel comfortable, to set aside the things that we believe we can't live without in order to open ourselves up to live a life of radical trust in God. I think that's what will determine whether we are serious about our story, or whether we are continuing to hold on to some aspect of the flesh. Can we die to all the things that our world believes are important in order to give ourselves in trust to the God who loves us, loves all of us, regardless of who we are, regardless of what we look like, regardless of where we are from, regardless of the circumstances of our birth? God so loves the world, and we are called to love it too. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your grace. We give you thanks for your love. We give you thanks for your spirit blowing in our midst, your spirit blowing in our hearts, your spirit blowing in our world, the spirit of life, the spirit that births your people and that sends us out into the world as your people. It sends us out in joy and radical trust, knowing that you are indeed the God who goes with us and who has promised us your future. We give you thanks for your radical love for the world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen.